just in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
Church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha, a church of worship with the word and healing. I'm so excited today. For the last couple of weeks, we've been teaching on Teach Me How to Pray. But before we get into the word of God, I want to extend an invitation to you to come and worship with us every Sunday at 10 a.m. Our number is 561-383-6574. Once again, 561-383-6574. Also, you can go on our website, www.maranathainter.org, to get further information about this ministry, about our vision, about our mission. And also, on that website, you can click on the heading More, and you have an opportunity that you could give into this ministry. So we're looking for partnership to give into this ministry, to help bring to pass, you know, this vision that God has placed on the inside of us. I believe that I have a robust audience before me, and I know you've been listening intently. I also thank you for those calls that we received inquiring about the ministry and also people wanting to come to the ministry. Believe you me, this is the ministry to be. This is the place to be, because it's the place where it's going to give you practical teachings, but also it's going to help build you as a person. Build you as a person, and that you can walk in your God-given gift and what God has planned for you. So before we get into the Word of God, let us pray. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. You are our Heavenly Father, God. You are our Abba, Father. We can come before your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, because we are thankful of you. You're a lovely Father. You're a loving Father. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, for the people, Lord God, that are listening. Father God, there's so many different needs, Lord God, that's before us. But Father God, we ask, Father God, that you may bless them right where they are. And Father God, I ask, Father God, that as the word comes forth, you said, at the entrance of your word, it gives light. Illuminate us, Lord God, that we may see. See clearer, Lord God, the things, Lord God, that you have had readily available for us and the things that you desire for us to do. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray, amen and amen. Well, we've been talking about the seven steps to answered prayers. I believe we have already covered step one, step two, and we have introduced step three. But what I'm going to do is just go over the first couple of steps, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. But before we do that, we have to understand our prayer is a communication, and it's also time where we can come to our Heavenly Father. And we have to understand that God is our Heavenly Father. This past weekend, my wife and I have been celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary. I can just remember the relationship that we continue to have with each other, you know. And I believe that as we build relationship, is one thing about this relationship that is not just a relationship where you know, once a day you say, hey, and then you don't see or talk to that individual for the rest of the day, but you communicate throughout the day and you build a relationship. I believe that our Father loves to have a relationship. I was reading something in Psalms 145. Psalms 145. If you have your Bible, just turn with me to Psalms 145. And it reads, it says in verse 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." We see that God is a gracious God. God is a God that's full of compassion. He's full of love. And we have to understand that when we come before God, we are coming before our Heavenly Father. We're coming before a Father that loves us. We are part of the family of God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we were born into a family. And we have a God, we have a Father that is seated upon the throne. And we can come, prayer is basically you coming to your Heavenly Father as a child. And just basically sitting on his lap and begin to start having that communication with your Father. Your Father wants to make sure that he supplies all your needs. He wants to make sure that you're all taken care of. He's make sure that you're doing his will. But he's a Heavenly Father that loves you. He loves you unconditionally. So when we come in prayer, it's not just, I know we have a time when we get up, for instance, 7 or 8 o'clock, and we have a set time of prayer. But our prayer should be our communication, not just at that set time, but throughout the day, you are communicating with your Father. You know what he dislikes. You know what he likes. You're not just coming to him every time, just asking him for stuff. Sometimes you may come to him and say, "God, I just want to say that I've been thinking about you." You're building a relationship. It's not just a God where you can take the quarter and put it into the slot machine and say, "Give me this answer prayer. Give me this answer prayer. Give me, give me, give me." And we go to God with our hands out, "Give me, give me, give me, give me." God says, "Don't you care about my heart? I want to have a relationship with you." So we have to keep that in the mind, in our mind, as far as the backdrop. When we come before God, we're coming before a Heavenly Father that loves us, and he wants to see the best for us. So when we see prayer, you know, prayer in itself is our communication with our Heavenly Father. All right? It brings us into a personal touch with your Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So when we come before God, we have to realize that. Now, we've been talking about, like I said, 7 steps to answer prayer. What was the first step? The first step was be specific and stand on God's promises. Let me say that again. The first step is be specific and stand on God's promises. So we talked about the fact that we have to decide what you want from God. And also find the scriptures that correlates with what you are believing God for, what that definite promise is for those things that you're asking for. So we understand that faith begins where the will of God is known. So we have to be definite about what you want. We gave an example of Hannah. She was very specific. She was praying for a boy. She was praying that this boy would be dedicated back to the Lord. And she was very specific who she was praying for and what she was going to do when she gets that child. So the first thing is that we are what? Specific and stand on God's promises. Find scriptures that lay the foundation of what you are praying to God about. For instance, an example, you have a body that's not feeling well. Find scriptures that talk about healing. And then after you find those scriptures, those will be your foundation of where you will spring from. Once you find these scriptures, then you get these scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. I believe it was St. John's chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "Abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 John 5:14-15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his what? His will." His will is his word. So we have to ask according to his word. That's the reason why we get the scriptures. And after we get the scriptures, then we now spend time in these scriptures to now getting it fixed in our heart until it becomes established in our heart. I believe it was Psalms 57 and 7 says, my heart is fixed on the Lord. All right. The second step was you must ask God for what you want. So the first step is be specific and stand on God's promises. The second step is you must ask God for what you want. In other words, ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. Let me say that again. Ask God for what you want and believe that you what? Yes, that you receive them. In the scriptures in St. Mark chapter 11 verses 22 to 24, we see the words of Jesus. It starts off in 22 by saying, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. 23, for assuredly I say unto you that whosoever, so insert yourself right there, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is the part I want you to pay attention to. 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When we look at this word receive, it comes from the word lambano. It means to take. So for instance, you're getting down in prayer, and then you say, God, I'm asking you for healing in my body. The moment you ask God for the healing in your body, you believe that you take it, you receive it. So when you receive it, you do not walk away and says, well, maybe in the future I'm going to get it. No, at that moment you have received it. All right, because you have believed that you received it. So you must ask God for what you want. Now, if we look over, for instance, in St. John's chapter 16, St. John's chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Let's read it together here. It says, and that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So the second step is you must ask God for what you want. All right? So when we ask God for what you want, we believe that we what? We receive it. Once you receive it, it may not have been manifested yet where you can actually see it with your eyes. But in the spirit, you already have it. It's already in your hand. At that moment, the enemy now comes and says, now I have to now bring discouragement. I have to now bring doubt to make sure that that individual or that mom or that young person, whatever you've been praying for, they get discouraged and they stop the process. So the enemy, he operates in the sense realm. All right, look, he says, look at you. You've been praying for 2-3 weeks. You've been praying for a year. How come there's nothing that's happening in your life? How come I don't see anything happening? Because the enemy operates in the sense realm, whereas God operates in the revelation truth realm. Okay? So let's move to I'm just kind of rehashing here. Let's move to the third point. The third point is be positive in your thinking. Be positive in your thinking. In other words, let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you ask for. The last step is that you what? You believe that you received it. Now you have to now protect it. And it all starts in the battlefield of the mind. The enemy always wants to introduce a thought. A seed, have God said, is it really going to come to pass? Are you really, look how long you have been waiting. So it starts in the thought realm. So now you have it in your hand. It's not manifested yet, but there is a level of engagement that you have to now use to be positive in your thinking. Now, after you have prayed, you never allow or permit a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. So after you pray in faith, never allow a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. In other words, you believe that you are healed. Don't let a mental picture now come in that says contrary to what you are believing. Never let doubt for 1 minute cause to hinder your answers. All right? So if doubt persists, then you have to now take action. Because you've been praying, you believe you received it, but now the enemy says, did God really say? Now you have to now pull back at those foundational scriptures that you've written down, and now you have to now tell the enemy, no, by his stripes, I am healed. So we have to get your mind on the answers. Get your mind on the word of God. The two things we see that was introduced from James and also from Peter. They see how they responded to the enemy. In James, we see it says, resist the devil and he shall what? You got it. He shall flee. But also in 1 Peter 5 and 8, all right, it says the enemy goes and he's seeking whom he what may devour. Okay, so we have to now resist. We have to rebuke and say, no, we have to eradicate every image. Catch this now. Every image, every suggestion, every visions, every dream, every impression, every feeling or thoughts that do not contribute to your faith or do not affirm that you have what you ask for. In other words, you have to eradicate doubt. I was reading a story in the Bible and I noticed that even when Jesus operated, you notice when a lot of the time when he was getting ready to pray for someone, he entered a house and everybody was wailing and everybody was crying and everybody was just in the mourning stand. He would take his time and politely put them out of the room. And then bring in people that were very selective. The mother, the father, Peter, James, and John. You come in because you represent faith. Peter represents faith. John represents love. Faith works by love. You see how that goes? Okay, good. So we see that sometimes he would put out people out of the room. In other words, he was putting doubt out, eradicating doubt. And how do you eradicate doubt? You use the word. You answer the enemy with the word. You're not going to get that healing. Yes, by his stripes, I am healed. You're not going to get the healing. Yes, he sent his word and he healed me. You see how that works? So in this third step, be positive in your thinking. We have to be a little aggressive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, it talks about how we literally have to cast down imaginations. When you look at that word cast down, it comes from the word katharia. It means to lower, it means to demolish, it means to destroy. Imaginations. What is imaginations? Imaginations comes from the word logismos, which means computation or the reasoning or the faculties and how you reasoning. So when the enemy now comes and introduce doubt, we have to now be aggressive and take authority over that doubt and cast it out. Rebuke it. Remove it. Eradicate it. You see how that goes? Because faith and doubt cannot coexist in your heart. The scripture says that if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So believing starts in the heart. Believing starts in the heart. And also doubt can start in the heart. All right. We cannot have bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same brook. Is that a one or the other? So you got that so far? Let's go over the first three. The first step is be specific, stand on God's promises. The second one was must ask God for what you want. And the third one, what we just covered, be positive in your thinking. The fourth step is guard your mind. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. Why am I saying it three times? Because you literally have to guard your mind. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 7. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. It is at this step, you're almost there. You're almost there. You just got to hang in there. But you have to now put forth an effort to guard your mind. Guard your mind against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word. In other words, the enemy wants to introduce his case to allow you to what? Doubt God's word. But you have to now guard your mind. Now, thoughts are governed by our observation. When you're looking around, your observation, but it's also governed by our association, and it's also governed by our teaching. Let me say that one more time, see if you write that down. Our thoughts are governed by our observation, our association, and our teaching. Now, we have to stay away from situations or places or things that do not support or bring affirmation to what God has said. If someone is coming you continually and just saying, hey, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this. You say, hey, politely, hey, I am believing God for this. And if you don't have anything else to say besides that, I'm just going to politely just got to, hey, put the hand. All right. Yes, Pastor did say that. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8. And this is a very familiar scripture that we see as Paul was writing this to the church of Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8. And we're talking about guard your mind. Guard your mind. Now, it reads in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's start at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we see here that this is talking about prayer. Now we understand that in this prayer, in verse 7, it talks about the results of what happens in prayer. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. The peace of God, the irene of God, the shalom of God will guard your hearts. Guard your hearts from what? From the malicious attacks of the enemy with doubt, with worry, with anxiety, all the things that are coming against what you are believing God for in prayer. See how that goes? So it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. This is the part I want you to catch here. In verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, is there any virtue in there? Is anything praiseworthy? Meditate on these things. In other words, the Bible now tells us what to meditate on. The Bible tells us what to meditate on. The Bible tells us what to meditate on. Meditate on what? Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report, whatsoever is praiseworthy. You meditate on these things. So we see here that we have to now meditate on these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report, what has a good nature. In other words, what we're doing is that we are guarding our hearts. We're guarding our mind, and we're keeping our mind stayed on the Lord. What have you been putting your mind on? A lot of times we watch various movies, we watch various things, we come in contact with certain things, and our mind is stayed on those things. Therefore, it influences our thoughts and gets us off track. Now, when we look at, for instance, like a scripture in Isaiah chapter 26 and 3, Isaiah 26 and 3, it says, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him." He will keep him in what? Perfect peace. When I looked up this word perfect, the word perfect comes from the word shalom. And also the word peace also means shalom. So in other words, what they're saying is that when you keep your mind stayed on him, stayed on his word, what happened is that God will give you shalom, shalom. In other words, double peace. All right? So we have to guard our mind. And this is the fourth step. And maybe next week we get a chance to get into the fifth step, and then until we get to the seventh step. So once again, my time has elapsed. I want to extend an invitation to you again. This Sunday, I want you to come and worship with us. We're a church of worship, the Word, and healing. If you love good teaching of the Word of God, practical teaching that you could see yourself growing, if you're looking for an atmosphere of love where you can come and you fellowship with others and others are pushing you to be better, I believe that as a Christian, we not only should be prospering in our spirit, but we should also prosper in our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your intellect, and also prosper in your body, okay? So I believe that this is the time where we thank you for listening. I want you to call us at 561-383-6574, and also go on our website, maranathainter.org. That's maranathainter.org. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next Sunday at 10 a.m., but also I'm looking forward for you to call us and to be a part of something big. May God bless you and richly bless you is my prayer. Thanks.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the Word, and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the Word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the Word, and healing.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for Pastor Lasser Bradley and the Baptist Bible Hour, right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.